I'm a little bit nervous, I must tell you, about this guest. I'm wondering what he's going to know that I'm not saying.
You got to watch out with those intuitive type people.
No, I have to be really transparent and be okay with it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible.
Hello, Dr. Energy.
Hello, Rara.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. And you?
Well, I'm doing good, but now with our new setup, I have to make sure I don't have any wardrobe malfunctions.
It's just you and me. Nobody else can see.
Good. Because this is a totally different thing here. It's like, all right, it's one thing to sound ready. It's another thing to visually be ready.
Yeah.
No the only option on the job.
The only place we got to worry about now with the video and wardrobe malfunctions is when we go live.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Remember those days? What was it? Madonna and Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson.
Yeah. Let's talk about bringing a visual right into this, right into this podcast.
First name's Janet, last name Jackson. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
I don't want to bring in politics, but I understand they're going to be two amazing artists that we could view, and so they're both. Great ladies. Like, I'm really excited about their performance.
Right. So only I know who one of them is. I know that Lady Gaga is scheduled to perform the national anthem at the inauguration tomorrow. Who's the other?
J-Lo.
Jenny from the Block.
Just can't get enough of that J-Lo. I watch those videos with her new J-Lo beauty product and her washing her face. And I'm like, that's her real skin and it looks so good. Is it the product or is it the lights? She looks beautiful for 50, whatever, 50, 51. Let me tell you, talk about keeping yourself looking good.
Well, you know, they say that when you're BU, be your actual self, then that beauty shines from within. It actually does affect. Right. You've got to build the inner beauty to have it reflect in the outer beauty.
And I was looking at something. Yes, you're absolutely right. I was looking at something today and actually sent it to my husband before he woke up. He's like, is that a message? Happiness is letting go of what you think your life is supposed to look like and celebrating it for everything that it is.
Right.
I thought that was so profound.
That's about having expectations, right? And when we have I once saw a quote that's kind of spoke to the same thing. And I don't remember who said it. It was along the lines of having expectations is just having predetermined disappointment, right? Because oftentimes situations and most often other people don't meet our expectations and we become disappointed and resentful of that. And it's only because we think that everybody else behaves the way we do or would behave the same way that we would in the same situation. And that's just not true because everybody has their own perspective on the situation.
Their own journey. Let's take it to a hike or skiing. You go on top, you're on top of the hill. Your goal is to make it down. And if you don't make it down on two skis and it's on your butt, or you make it down halfway on your skis, you're not disappointed. You're happy you did it. You get back up again and you go to the top of the hill and you do it all over again.
It's interesting that you say that the goal is to get to the bottom. I've got to say that has in all the years that I've skied, that's never been my goal on any run ever.
That was my goal.
That was your goal. It's never been my goal. My goal is to have fun or to go fast, see how fast I can go or how slow I can go. It was always something different related to having fun or having a different experience that on that particular run, or to ski a different line on that run than I'd skied it before. It's never been my goal just to get to the bottom. I just had that realization. Thank you.
Well, the optimum word there is that you know how to ski, and my goal was to get to the bottom and not snowplow halfway and then end up on the floor. I wanted to do the run. Once I was up at the top, whatever I did to get there, I wanted to experience that whole, like that feeling of not crashing into the wall, and like just taking that all the get down to the bottom, because getting up for me was not that easy. I either didn't like that way or I didn't like the toe. I had to get used to that whole thing of skiing. It wasn't like natural to me like it is to you. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to go from top to bottom. I want to complete it. But we didn't get upset and say it. Well, that was crappy. Like, we were happy. We did it no matter what. When we go for a hike, we don't say, well, I hope I see 14 trees and 4 birds and 3 fox. Because if I don't, that hike is going to be awful. And talking about expectations leads us right into what we're doing today.
Right.
We're talking to an amazing person who works with our subconscious. We're 90% subconscious, correct?
Somewhere 90 to 95% of all the thoughts that we have during the day are come from a non-conscious place. Yeah,
not unconscious, non-conscious.
Correct. Unconscious is completely something completely different. If you're walking through life unconscious, you got bigger problems.
Yeah, we want to clarify where we're going today with this. Amazing.
Yeah, if you're walking through life unconscious, you need to work with somebody before you could work with Richard or somebody like us.
And Richard does miracles. And you know, Richard got up really early to be with us.
He did. He's on the West Coast, out in, I believe it's Courtney in BC.
And he didn't bat an eyelash about the time. You know, this is amazing. And for our guests, when you're listening to this podcast, we had the pleasure of seeing Richard because we talked to each other. And it was dark where he was, man. He just doesn't matter what the time is. He hopped in with us.
And you know, living in the mountains like he does as well, it takes even a little bit longer for the sun to come up, and it goes down a little bit faster just because of the mountains. And when you're living in the valley, right, it's quite an experience how quickly that happens.
And we really held space during this cast with him. Mm. We held space for the positive energy for us to do that recording. And no sooner were we done, the universe said, you guys are done. Podcast is over.
Yep.
And we had all kinds of internet things going on. I thought that was amazing that the three of us together could lift the vibration.
It's incredible when we put a purposeful intent to have our energy expand out beyond us and be attentive to that energy that's out beyond us, how we can actually influence what's going on around us. And the more that you engage with doing that, it's just like learning how to ski. The more you learn how to engage with the field around you, the more that you more information you get from the field, and the more information is shared with you. So it didn't surprise me that happened, to be honest. It was funny, this for sure.
Wasn't it?
But it didn't completely surprise me.
And the energy field, I love that you said field, the energy field that we held during that that cast was just amazing. I can't wait to get over there and have our listeners meet Richard.
It's kind of like, you know, when geese fly, right? The lead goose does the most work, and then each one in the V shape does less because they all help lift each other. And that's the same thing when we work together, right? So is to be able to elevate each other as a group. We can go even higher than we can as the sum of our individuals. So I think that is a great place, as you said, to head over and meet with Richard and elevate our field.
Let's lift each other up.
Let's lift each other up. I'll see you on the other side.
All right.
Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is BU Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking. Receive instant feedback and achieve quick results. And feel confident that no one is laughing unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships. I love what you said. Microphones are hot. Hello, Dr. Energy.
They're on fire, on fuego. Good morning, Rara.
This is a fun day. I like the way it started. Let's keep that going.
Exactly. Exactly.
You must be so happy that there is snow on the ground.
Oh, yes. We finally had some big snow in the over the weekend here in Ottawa, so I'm pretty excited about it.
You know, I don't know why we look at the weather report. I said to David, what's going to happen this week? He said, it's going to snow on Thursday. As soon as he said that, Monday night, it was snowing. I'm like, okay, we don't. I want that job that no matter what you say or do, you get paid and you're right or wrong. I mean, I couldn't probably handle that with my personality, but imagine being in that business. Doesn't matter what you say, even if you're wrong. People still go to you every day to check and see what you're going to say.
Exactly. For me, the weather report is I look outside the window and see what it's doing.
Yes. That's definitely what you see is what you get. Oh, exactly. WYSIWYG. They bring back some fond memories.
Exactly.
We have a great show, a great episode, a great recording today because it's all about the people in our life. I get excited when I know who we're going to be speaking with and what they bring to our podcast and to the table. I'm a little bit nervous, I must tell you, about this guest. I'm wondering what he's going to know that I'm not saying.
You got to watch out with those intuitive type people.
Oh, I have to be really transparent and be okay with it. Just be okay with who I am today.
That's why it's always easier to just be at integrity and be transparent, because then you don't have to remember what you told anybody, because you're just always being you, right? You don't have to remember, you know, that's the thing with people who aren't as transparent and try to hide things. They have to try to remember the story that they've told people, and it's not worth it to me.
I don't know if we're going to keep this part in, but as you know, I was raised Catholic.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm now of the Jewish faith. And when I was younger and I was learning what to do, I used to go to church and I used to go to confession. And I used to say to my mom, like, I don't really know what to say. And she would say, well, why? And I'd say, well, I don't remember what I did. And sometimes she said, well, just start with I've lied. Like, why? She said, because if you're going to lie, you've already asked for forgiveness. Look at that. The angle to talk to the priest, just start with I lied. And then he knows that you're capable of anything.
Yeah. It's interesting. Religion is an interesting topic for sure. And for another time,
advice,
I think.
And advice from a Sicilian mother on what to say to a priest. Say hello, my name is Asaro and I've lied. Like, oh, it's you again, you and your whole family. Okay. 10 Hail Marys. Anyways, talk about being transparent. Yes. So let's hop into the amazing, amazing gifts of who we have on our podcast today. Would you like me to start?
Yes. Why don't you introduce Richard? Yes.
Okay. So I'll read and then I'll give you some best kept secrets. Richard Morden is our guest today. Richard is a certified EFT practitioner. And for those of you who are not sure what EFT is, it's Emotional Freedom Technique, otherwise known as tapping. So Richard is an EFT practitioner, certified emotional success coach, body talk access, limbic arc, positive prime, supporting people with phobias, depression, anxiety, and panic attacks. Empowering divorced women to step into their power. Everyone's situation is unique, Richard says, so I use a variety of ways to facilitate them with EFT, colors, and technology to empower each person in the process so that they become connected and aligned to a desired outcome of their choice. Like, sign me up. Isn't this awesome? I met Richard online. I remember when once upon a time that sounded like such an odd thing when you say you meet people online. We meet everybody online these days. It's funny because Richard lived probably 100 kilometers from us and now he's across the world and I meet him online, right? Funny that we didn't bump into him when he lived here. So I met Richard online and I could sense Richard's kindness. And I had a specific reason that I won't get into all the details that I wanted to speak to Richard. And Richard became like this amazing giver, this person who just did exactly what I needed without me even having to say too much. Although I did ask because I wasn't shy and I said, I really need help with this. And he delivered and helped and followed up. And I want to say that Richard's a great guy, like all around, aside from being a professional. I would like us to welcome Richard Morden to our show.
Welcome, Richard.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I really am looking forward to this and I'm all ears and all heart to be here today. So thank you.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you. So Richard, for some of our guests who are wondering what tapping is, could you demonstrate? Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Could you demonstrate for like 10 seconds what tapping is?
Tapping is using the acupuncture meridians on your body, your head, your center of your eyebrow, side of your eyes, with your fingers lightly on touching your skin while you're going through different statements and phrases. It activates meridians, which are connected to your organs, which your body is the holder of all your emotions and your history. And you can access that. You start to understand what the energy is in your body.
Right.
So for example, what would be an opening? Do you have a favorite tapping that you would do in the morning? Or is there something that we can just open up with so someone can get the feel of that?
Just tapping with what's present. I talk about being congruent when we're saying something. If we wake up and we're grumpy, we're grumpy. And I don't mean to disrespect affirmations, but if we wake up and I'm feeling a little off today, I'm going to tap. I'm feeling a little off and tired. You know, had a lot on my mind, you know, like anything. And so I just want to relax and say, okay, and honor myself because that's my truth.
Right.
I'm very adamant to that. Sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to agree with you that, you know, that's, I think, a big part of the problem with. Problem. I don't know if problem is the right word, but challenges with affirmations and with where we are in our culture is that we tend to push down those feelings we don't like. We try to, you know, like you say, you wake up and you feel grumpy. We try to replace that with a positive emotion that we're not actually really feeling. And we fail to acknowledge and be okay with feeling grumpy or feeling those, what we would typically call negative emotions. You know, there's that line that if you can't feel pain, you're going to have a hard time feeling pleasure.
Yes.
Right. You have to, the whole width and breadth and depth of emotion is what makes up the human experience. And by denying those are the ones we don't like, it just sets us up later on that we need to work with a practitioner like yourself or myself to deal with that stuff and the repercussions of it.
Yes. Long-term suppression is hugely detrimental to all of our health. But we're a society that was taught to never acknowledge emotions right from birth. We are conditioned. Stop that. Don't do that. Here's the emotion I want. And that goes over and over. So you're an adult. You don't even know what you're supposed to feel.
Right.
Richard, I'm looking at your Instagram account. And I love that you have the EFT tapping points. And I'm also learning about your sense of humor. I just have to read this so people will be following you. I want the term gold digger to include dudes who look for a woman who will do tons of emotional labor for them. You're funny. Tell us about this.
Yes, I like that.
Again, we want all these emotional wellness, but we're not willing to do the work to get there. Mm-hmm. And I say, unfortunately, for a lot of, and I don't, techniques or modalities, there's something I would say, you know, when you have to discuss your emotions, it's hard. It's, yes. And for men, I laugh, I say this, women are crying for men for what I call intimacy from men, but I'd say it's from the belly button up, and we have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yep.
And when you can start to dig into that in the sense of just the energy, I can work with your emotions. You don't need to say a word. I don't have to know what's coming. I don't have to get you to repeat mm-hmm. something. I can just work with the energy in your body. So it's because mm-hmm. the energy is the emotion. We've just attached a whole bunch of language to it. And repeated dialogue about it really doesn't do the trick.
No, when you start talking about it, now you're talking about a concept of the emotion. You're not actually experiencing it. It becomes a mental thing rather, you know, mental energy rather than the emotional energy.
Yep. So, go ahead. Sorry. No, I just say just again, getting connected, coming home to your body. That's the biggest step we can take to understand what's going on in there.
I wanted to bring a common denominator to the table, Dr. Energy. Mm-hmm. Richard's birthday is March 27th. Mm. Look at you two having a connection. You know, I mean, within a time frame. I'm looking as we're talking to one another, I'm looking for all the common denominators right. because I feel very connected to what Richard is saying and what Richard is doing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just feel like this is calling out, you know, like calling out to me, calling out to us. And I mean, March, you know, April, May, Richard's birthday is in March. Mm-hmm. And then I'm in April and you're in May. Yep. It just feels like there's some kind of triad going on there. It feels like there's some synergy and some, yes. you know, collaboration here because we're so alignment. Interested in, yes, it really does. And as I'm thinking about like Richard, and when I speak with you and when I read about you, you know, there's these images that we have, right, of ourselves and the images that we portray to others about us. And it's so hard digitally to say, Richard, that you're kind. And when you speak the words and when I read the words, it's different, right? Because we're reading words, you know, leave the fear and anxiety and trauma behind and begin the journey of you. And this is on your GAP, gapproach.com website. But yet when you say it, it comes across so soft, and how you talk about not reliving and not discussing the moment again. I think that's a really interesting point. Can you talk a little bit about if someone wants to heal, you mean they don't have to drag themselves through it all over again?
No, not at all. In the sense of there's so many ways and areas we can work in us doing matrix reimprinting, even you mixing in some NLP where take a traumatic situation, we can put it in a box and move it away. You know, and so what's your awareness of the situation and tap on your energy? It's like, I guess a metaphor or a story, if I'm going to say this right. One of the gals I took EFT with when she was a teenager, she had come home and her mother had hung herself. When they worked on that situation and went through it as a movie, it took her 2 days, two sessions to actually, because what started getting into her car, to actually get outside the house in her car in her mental story, 2 days. Or two sessions, because every step was, what's the energy? 1 to 10, 10. Okay, let's back up and take the energy down. So you're not reliving it. You know, you're not it's like someone who's almost drowned as a kid just still have panic attacks in the water. We know they didn't drown, but it's water. So we're outside the, you know, you're safe. Let's work the energy of you standing on the dock. And there's different things like we can, again, just where you're not in the story, that's, I'm just working on the energy. Okay, back up. You're afraid of a dog. Put the dog 100 feet away. Put him in a cage mentally and just work on the energy of the dog. And then we can move the dog 10 feet closer. Okay, is the energy up? We can work on the energy. So you're not in any of that story. And if it's, we can change colors, we can change shape, we can put up fences, we can all kinds of things that protect you emotionally. Because I'm working with your nervous system, and that's the holder, the key holder of all this.
Right. It's, you know, this is how I, you know, practice chiropractic, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual, they're not separate things. They're all interwoven with each other, and they all affect and interplay with each other. And you cannot address one without affecting or having an effect on the other.
Yes. Yes.
Richard, can I ask you a question about your day-to-day life? To have this type of insight and connection and the ability to bring people to another state of reality, I guess we could say, how do you keep yourself sharp, sane, aware, interested? Like, what are some of the things that you do for you?
Constant self-care. When I first took my EFT training back in fall of 2013, it was just a few months after my wife had passed. And that's another part of the story. I was looking for something for self-care. And when I took it there, I thought I'd be working on losing her. And I realized she wasn't even part of my story. I had traumas buried in my body. I had no idea it even existed. Family patterns, my brother's suicide, different things like that. So one of the parts of EFT was self-care's primary, personal peace procedure. And I loved it. I couldn't find colleagues to work with back then. I took it again in the spring of 2014 with a wonderful lady, Nancy Forrester, and I learned self-care then. And I have been adamant ever since of finding practitioners to work with of different modalities constantly. I love the process. I love the process of discovery. So not so much EFT now, but I'm doing other practitioners, just exchanges. And you're always reaching another level. I'm not scholastically educated, but I'm personally educated since I've been curious my entire life.
Well, that's good news, because in my opinion, our scholastic education basically just creates conformative thinking rather than being able to think outside the box and be open and critical. And I mean, that's nothing against teachers. I have lots of friends who are teachers, but and they do a good job with the kids. But the system doesn't encourage.
No, very structured, very dismissive.
Yeah.
Lifetime curious of how does this work? How does that work? What do I do? So I'm always reading. I mean, we don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in years. We don't turn it. So we're constantly curious in the sense of reading stuff. I never dismiss anything, no matter how weird or obscure I look at. It's interesting. You know, I mean, I read a lot of weird stuff. But I just put it on a shelf. So, I wonder if that'll relate later. I wonder if that'll connect later. And life, I could chase shiny objects the rest of my life. It's trying to stay focused on being productive is my nemesis.
Right. It's interesting what you said there about putting it on the shelf and will it show up later? I'm the same way. I read voraciously. I usually have 5 or 6 books on the go at a time. And I just started reading a collection of Ray Bradbury stories, and in the foreword, in the introduction, he writes about how it's often years later that something that he observed in his life comes out and creates a story. He said it only to the point of this particular collection in 1983, only one story ever had been immediate where he'd experienced something and went and wrote a story about it. Everything else was, there was this big time gap in between him observing or experiencing something and it showing up in a story. So I like to think of those things as it's our future self leaving clues or breadcrumbs for our present self to pick up on.
Totally. I have purchased stuff and I didn't even know I'd purchased it, little things. And I thought, when did I get this? And it's like, wow. I'm like you. I have half a dozen books or more in Kindle that I'm back and forth. And some are educational. I go back and I reread a chapter, try and apply it. And I can't do that anymore. I go off to another book. I have
the e-reader. I've got physical books. I have everything.
We had physical books. Throwback.
I only have a very, 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 very small fraction of a percentage of the books that I used to own because I moved into a smaller place too. So
yeah.
Moving around, I guess it's easier to keep it digital.
Yes.
Richard, let me ask you another question, because someone who might be for the first time understanding what this is all about, as opposed to someone who's seasoned, they're wondering, okay, is this a high vibration? Is this, what type of vibration is this? Sometimes people are leery about trying something new and sometimes people jump right into it. Could we talk a little bit about like, what does it mean? What happens when we tap and what happens when we tap into this aspect of our being?
teaching them, just showing them a tapping process, what it does as far as their, that the body, you know, I'm not looking to what their thoughts are so much as the body is a holder of emotion. We're just getting connected. My first piece of tapping with somebody is that little bit of self-acceptance. Even though I have, say, this fear of spiders, blah, 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 we may say that I choose to deeply love and accept myself. And you wouldn't believe how hard that is for somebody. Mm. Trying to find that acceptance in them. Where is that? Oh, I can't accept myself. I'm actually really angry. Okay, that's our truth. You know, so for some people, it's a couple of sessions. There's big traumas in there. So, and just, and I make fun too. I make stupid jokes. I poke fun at myself. So it's not so serious. I mean, you could be crying and I'm going to say, look, you never thought of me doing this with some dumbass like me, would you? You know, and they laugh, but it's just, I just want them to enjoy the process. It's not a regime. You know, it's just getting connected and having fun with yourself and learning to really come home and feel safe for maybe once in your first time in your life.
It doesn't have to be a hard, arduous process. No. We can bring, in fact, it makes it easier, in my opinion, and my experience of 20 years of as a chiropractor of, yeah. And you know, I've taken NLP training as well, and I'm very familiar with EFT as mm-hmm. well. It doesn't have to be that hard. It can be it, with the levity and bringing some humor to it. It actually makes it easier to approach.
And be honest with it. I have one I call the Chevy Chase rant. I said, when you're in an angry state, that's the best thing you can do is tap and spit it out. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. I mean, there's no limits. You're not going to get struck by lightning. Right. You know, and if you want to use lots of colorful language, I've done it. I've, you know, when I was working full time, we had an audit go south to me one time and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I was so mad. I was tapping and tapping and almost bruising myself. And then I realized where the mistake was. But I didn't carry it around for 3 days. Within half an hour, most of the anger was gone. That's probably the biggest thing I teach people is how to tap and rant. You know, when you're having angry moments and angry thought, let it come out. You know, it doesn't, eventually underneath that is your truth. The rest is all just stuff you've picked up from around you, what you've heard. 80% of our thoughts aren't even ours, they're somebody else's.
Right. I find that, you know, once you get past the anger, then there's usually some sadness underneath that, mm-hmm. a little bit of fear underneath that, some grief below that, right? It's just layers and layers and layers. And that tends to be what I find how they come up.
Yeah.
If we're talking about someone who's going to approach removing, assisting, lifting a trauma, as you call it, what would you say are the common, and I know you specialize in that respect, what would you say are the common subjects or traumas that come up that people will say, I'd really like to work through this one?
I don't think they even recognize there's a trauma. What shows up is other aspects of it, constant conflicts, tension, mm-hmm. Always anxiety and depression sort of come from these as well, but it's the dissensions in her life of they always seem to have the same fight, you know, they change jobs, they have the same, all of a sudden they have got the same boss. Mm. Wherever you go, there you are, because the mm-hmm. 0 to 7 is your record of your history, you know, in your limbic brain, and that this kind of repeats over and over and reaffirms itself. So it's never, well, I had this trauma when I was 5 or I lost my mom at 9 or something like that. It's something else that's not congruent or they're having a struggle with. And we just work through the layers of that. So without, okay, let's go into the trauma, you lost you. I mean, they're not even connected to it. Mm. So it's finding the other things in life. They have issues with their siblings. They have, you know, jealousies. They're always feeling like they're left out, you know, feeling like they can't, nowhere's home for them. All types of little things show up that are nuances. So it's working through those. So now I'm building trust in your system. Oh, okay. Now a little awareness pops up, you know, and you're eventually, and you know, it's interesting how we've, all these things have cascaded above it. A little incident sometime can lead to a major outcome 30 years later. So it's not always the big stuff, but there's lots of little things that happen mm-hmm. that cause us, you know, our filter of our, what you call the NLP filter of our of life becomes so distorted. When did you decide that about yourself? And it's like, I don't know. You know, and it's powerful decisions that as a child create a lifetime pattern. I don't belong here. No one wants me. I can't have what I want. I can never say I love you. Fears. It's just finding what's going on. And again, building downwards from that, peeling back to layers.
So would you say that tapping is also recommended for children? I mean, I know the answer. I just want our audience
absolutely.
To be able to.
Absolutely. You know why? Because they don't hold on to the stories. You know, we get conditioned to our, Joe Dispenza says it best. When somebody has something happen, he calls it, they're in a mood, right? I had this happen. So for a couple of weeks, now it's 3 months later, they're still gone. He calls it a state. You know, 6 months is a state. Yes. Still going to, years later, let's go. It's a personality trait, you know, and we don't want to let that go. That's part of our body. Our body said, I'm not letting that go. I know what this is. It's hurting me, but I'm not letting it go. Kids are like, let's go. Shake it off, baby.
Would you be able to think back to, if you'd be willing to share, what would you say is one of the most challenging experiences that you've had to work through with someone?
Sexual abuse is a big one. And it happens so much, and it's hidden in our society, where people have had it, and family members don't want to admit it, won't get help because we don't want to admit that happens. And it doesn't happen by chance. Usually there's a lot of tension, so that you're already on high alert. And if somebody's been abused or something like that as a child it's hard work, but it's incredibly rewarding. You know, and again, I don't have to know what happened. You don't even have to be on camera. I can just hear you. You know, so the safety is primary of that. And again, seeing somebody liberated from that is enormous. And I understand trauma. You know, I've buried 11 people. I understand what it's like to have people die around you, in front of you, and how you try and you want to shut down. So it's to see somebody come out of that and have that smile and that space, and they're never quite free of major traumas, but to have that breath that they've never had before, be able to take a deep breath, is so special.
And Richard, do you follow up? How do you follow up with someone when you're able to deal with something so personal and so deep? Maybe it takes that person one meeting with you or five meetings with you. How do you follow up with them to check in on them?
Again, we have phone contact, we have emails, we have messaging. So I'll send them a text, you know, just say hi, just touching in. They have access to me. If something comes up, you know, a trigger comes up, I said, send me a text, we'll connect. You know, so they're never, I never leave somebody hanging, and I'll never have them leave a session that they're still being triggered. Mm-hmm. I will never end a session until you're sitting there and you're taking your breath and you feel safe and you can your environment's safe.
That's so important.
Yeah.
We both said it at the same time.
It's huge. That's such integrity for me, but it's so heartfelt for me as well.
Richard, you said something very funny before about how you use humor to, I guess, alleviate or lift the heaviness of a moment. How did you see yourself, or did you envision yourself actually doing this? And when did you realize that this was your calling?
Again, when I took that training in 2013, I realized again how much trauma was in my own life. And I guess the destructiveness unconsciously in my own family. I had five older siblings, and they've all kind of, as I watched them, really self-destructive. I mean, I have one left that has dementia. So looking at our upbringing, I said, and if I can take care of this, how can I make something a difference? And again, wanting to have a better place for my children. I was very blessed to have a lovely wife at the time, and I have two healthy adult children. But wanting to make this place a better place for them, seeing how crazy this world was. And as I've continued to grow and expand my world, I mean, I'm not the same guy I was 5 years ago. I was a very stoic, boring kind of guy. Great worker. You know, I've always been a good worker. I was blessed with a great career. But just finding that place that when people come back and you said this to me and this has made a difference. I'm really, I did. I didn't know I could make a difference for somebody. So seeing those people come back and people I've worked with, a lot of pro bono that have come back, and what's changed for them. Creating a new life for myself. After I was widowed, I wrote a description out of my next relationship a year after my wife had passed. And that's the partnership I have today. But I had to become that vibration to meet this person. Right. I had to change myself. So I'm loving the aspect of connecting. And again, I'm not the same guy. I was the most boring, monotone guy. People talk to you and their eyes would roll. What's wrong with the world? But it was me. I had to come out of my own shell.
Right. We only see the world as we are, right? Not as it is.
Yeah.
And Richard, you talk about writing out. Let's go into this for a minute, because there's a guest on, at least one guest, who's saying, really, I can do this. I can write out what's going to happen. Can you talk about this process?
It was a very simple process in a sense of what I wanted my next relationship. Like, 'cause I knew what the feeling was. I had wrote something down earlier and it says, you can't lose what your heart knows to be true. You know, I knew what love felt like. I was very blessed to my marriage. We had our challenges. Absolutely, we had our challenges. But I was very blessed to know what love felt like, and to have that connection, have wonderful family around me. And I wanted that connection with somebody different. You know, I knew what it felt. I wanted conversation. I wanted comfort. We could sit down and just be with each other, just hang out. We're together almost 24 hours a day. We go hiking at different times to give ourselves space. But I knew what that, if you'd have a sense, and sometimes we don't even know what it feels like, but we can build into the feeling or find somebody else that has that. Find it. You want a couple, look at a couple that really, I was at a retreat in Peru or Costa Rica, and I saw a couple and I said, Dad, just the way they looked at each other, the way they support each other. I said, that's what I want. I have that. So find models, somebody that's doing something you want, and find the energy of that, and then create your story, your language around that. Capture the feeling of that.
That's the highest form of flattery, right?
Yep.
Dr. Energy, we talk about this all the time.
Absolutely.
When someone mimics, copies, chooses to mirror, that means that, you know, they're loving it. So if you have something and somebody wants to do it just like you, then that's a high compliment, high level.
Yes, definitely. Now, there's something that I wanted to pick up on that you had mentioned as well, Richard, and it was about constant self-care and working and exchanging with other practitioners. You know, there's this glamorization, I think, that happens with around self-care. People think it's going to the spa for a day, or going and getting your hair done or your nails done. And in my opinion, that's not self-care. And maybe it's a level of it, but it's not really, in my mind, what self-care is and the importance of working with other practitioners.
I agree 100%. Dig into your junk.
That's so good. That is so true.
Dig into your
junk. Right about the aesthetic part. So I'll go into the nail and hair part, just because I think I can do it a little bit more. Yes, it's sort of what we have to do for work, believe it or not. I mean, it's great. And I am dedicated and loyal to all of those services. Mm-hmm. And I know that you
of
know
course.
That because I would drive 110 kilometers to be with.
And you have.
And I've done it for years to be with Rowan and Lena, like snowstorms. Like I wouldn't miss an appointment if no matter what. And that's what we do. And I say do it for work because we do it because there's an image of how we see ourselves and things that we have to do and things that the way that we want to look at ourselves and how others would look at us. Self-care to me could be a day of stretching, relaxing, eating, hugging in PJs in addition
sure.
to working with other practitioners. So there are many levels of self-care so that we don't skip
right.
and miss any of them, because having a professional in our life, being together and exchanging services with someone who you both care about, that's self-care. And then sitting with the person you love and exchanging the emotions and exchanging a higher vibration, that's self-care. And getting your hair and nails and all that done, yes, that's another level,
right.
but maybe not the level where Richard says, clean up your junk.
We have invisible walls. You know, we think we were seeing something, and why am I not seeing? It's just how our unconscious treats us. We're 5% conscious, 95% subconscious. and we're going to do something. Why aren't you doing this? I have no idea why I'm not. So looking at why is that not happening for you? I can't seem to work through this. So always in that quest to just, it doesn't have to be major, but little things. I'd like to have better access to this, a better focus on this. You know, money's a big thing for many of us. You know, creating solid incomes. What do we have? What's our history with money? So the work is endless. Again, it doesn't, I love every aspect of it. So I'll be doing this till I draw my last breath.
Right. It's like what you said earlier, when you were referencing Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's got done some incredible work. Also a chiropractor, at least used to be, doesn't do that much anymore. But how you, those small things that become, goes from being experiencing an emotion to having a concept of it to being a personality trait. If you leave it long enough, it's in the same way, you can unwind those things by doing just a little bit every day, creating that habit to just, you know, scrape a little bit more off the surface, just go a little bit deeper each time, or just continue to do the work. And you'll find, like you said, you're not the same person you were five years ago, and none of us are, but we can actually accelerate that process by working with ourselves more fully.
I would say some people, I'm going to disagree slightly with that, Joe, because you meet somebody in 15 years and they're telling you the same joke.
Well, there is that. There is that. I'll give you that.
It's, but just quick, the conditioning growing up sometimes, yes, and even good families, it's so subtle.
I had this conversation with my sister over the holidays. She's got four kids, and she said, you know, I'm so worried about, you know, making sure that, you know, they grow up with good values. And I said, it doesn't matter what you do as a parent. There's something that you do or don't do or don't say that your kids are going to be upset about, resent you for, blah, blah, blah. So no matter what you do, no matter how enlightened you are as a parent, there's going to be something, because that's that child's journey. Mm-hmm. to work through.
Yes.
And so do the best you can in every moment. And some moments your best is going to be better than other moments.
Yep.
Oh boy, you just hit a note, Joe, because I'm thinking of the times that I've heard many people say, I will never do that to my children. My children won't feel like that. Like, okay, here I am. Here's the mother in me coming out. Yeah, like, all right, really, because who has control over that?
There's something out there. You see, Joe, and both you, Catherine, where parents are trying so hard not to have their child experience the same trauma. They traumatize them in another way, trying to protect them. Exactly. You know, I have to be safe, and it's like, no, sorry.
That's the helicopter parent, right?
Yep. Yeah. I just know for me what I didn't want to be. My dad was, I mean, did what he could, but he was a hard guy, hard and cold. And temper. And I thought, I won't treat my kids like that. And I didn't, you know, he was a slapper and a whacker and a yeller and a screamer. And I thought, I'm not going to do that with my, and I didn't, I would say 99% of the time.
Well, you know, I can empathize with that. I had many, especially as a young teen, many wooden spoons busted over my butt. So
yeah.
I used to watch my mother throw eggs across the room at my brother. Like, what do you mean you don't want to eat these eggs? It's the third breakfast I've made for you. You're kidding me. You know, he would ask her for three breakfasts and then he'd finally say, no, I didn't mean that. She'd be like, what are you talking about? How subservient could I possibly be? But listen to what you just said, Richard. You said parents try to protect their children from one trauma and yet they impose another. So let's give an example of that for the parents listening. And I'll just throw one out there, like not allowing your child to ride a bicycle or not allowing your child to go skiing because you don't want them to get hurt. That is traumatizing them.
Yes.
Fear. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit.
In a sense of the emotional hurts. You know, we get embarrassed at school or somebody happened or somebody yelled at us or I don't want, you know, they have tough bosses and I'll never have my child experience that type of shame or guilt or so we try and mitigate all these things, you know, and protect them against so they never have a chance to even experience or express life. You know, and I laugh in a sense of my son played sports and I'm very blessed. He had wonderful coaches, And I said, you've had good parents, you had good family, I had good coaches. I said, if you screw up, it's your fault.
Put it on him.
But again, it's, yeah, not so afraid that you'll be hurt. And but again, they hung on to pain from some, maybe some big or small experience in their life. And I never got over that, you know, and it's like, well, that's up to you to hang on to it. But again, that's how we grow. I look back at my life and I mean, I wouldn't trade a moment of my life to be because I wouldn't be who I am today.
Right.
That's that whole thing. You know, people say, if you could go back and change anything and blah, blah, blah. And what regrets do you have in your life? And it's like, that's just a recipe for disaster. But, you know, because it's like you said, right? It's everything, every decision we've ever made, every action we've ever taken, every behavior, every thought, every emotion, it's made us who we are in this moment.
Yeah.
And here's a fun part. You know, we could talk a little bit about the quantum realm, because I mentioned earlier about how it's our future selves leaving breadcrumbs for our present selves. Mm-hmm. And in the quantum, the way they talk about how every particle in the universe knows what every other particle in the universe is doing at any given time. And the theory and the way that the math works out, it's actually because it's having a backwards effect. So it's a future electron or photon speaking with a present one or a past one. And so what I have noticed is when I do this work, the self-care and digging into my junk, as you talk about it, it's actually reorganizes my perspective on past events. And I now see them differently and experience in them differently. And it has created access to different energy in my life now from healing, for lack of a better word, for healing those things.
Yes, I agree 100%. We attach so much limitation to these events and, oh, if only, or I had, but they were all an experience, just surrendering to the experience. What did I learn? Because all of it was lessons on a path we, and if you believe it, I believe it, pre-chose, you know, as I was in, Costa Rica at an event retreat, and I said something about being there, and a guy looked at me and he laughed. The guy hosting said, "You were destined to come here before you were ever born." I agree.
Yep.
Soul family you connect with. I went to San Diego on a whim, met people I'm still in touch with. These were soul family.
That's synchronicity, right? That's
huge.
That's the universe speaking and us listening to it.
Yes.
Right. It's one of Catherine or my mentors, it's acting on our promptings, right? Our intuitions, our spirit, whatever you want to call it, our heart is speaking to us and we ignore it at our own peril.
Coming here, we have been so guided every step of the way. I'm very blessed and partner on the same page. Every step of the way was to unconsciously working on a chakra, doing work on energy where we are. So we're being guided and totally open to the guidance. Even coming to this place, it kept popping up on the Airbnb. And I got here a second to here, I was in tears because I'm not going to live here, but I knew I'd come home, sitting here crying, looking out at the ocean. So
that's incredible.
We are being fed and guided. We don't know what our future holds. We have intentions, but it's, we're being so guided. We're just being in the moment. And we're very blessed to be doing this.
I love that you're sharing this, Richard, because our guests or our listeners who are listening, and they might be thinking at this moment, you know, they're stuck or that it is what it is, or, you know, things can't be changed. And they're listening to what you have done in your life and where you are right now. There is always, my favorite four-letter word, there is always hope. And there's always a better way. No pun intended on that, Dr. Energy, but there is always a better way. We know that those, you know, a better way means what's in our thoughts. If we believe it and we believe we can, we believe we can't, then we're right.
Yes.
Exactly.
There's a part of our show. Richard, is there anything else that you wanted to say to our audience? Is there something you wanted to bring to their attention? And then I'd like to go into what we call our BU final moment.
Yeah, just in sense of, yes, in truth, we all have broken hearts. So I guess I'll do a little pitch. We all have broken hearts. It's part of our life. pets, families, partners, jobs, situations. And HeartMath said, I caught one quote of it, when a heart heals, it becomes stronger. But I think for many, it doesn't heal. We don't want to protect ourselves from broken. So I say, when your heart, and that's why I work with people, when your heart remains open to heal, you have greater capacity for you and greater capacity for the world around you. And I teach people how to be self-full. It's not selfish. Self-full means you have capacity for all the things in life and boundaries. And like I said, what your heart knows to be true, you never forget. So what you want becomes greater than your fear of losing it. You can have whatever you desire.
Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So what we like to talk about in our BU final moment, and I believe that we can all do this for quite some time, but not to say that we should wrap it up, but what is it that came up for you today? I'll ask Richard first. So Richard, what is it that came up for you today during this episode that you would like to share with each other and our listeners?
I believe the commonality and sense of wanting this, not wanting, I don't want, wants not a word, a bridge word. The intention to create a better life around all of us and the understanding we create life from inside out, cause versus effect. And when we can do that and connect with heart sense, heartfelt people around us, it becomes so much easier to do that. So find good people in your life to be with and share. Thank you both so much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Dr. Energy.
Wow, there's been so much good stuff. There's a couple of things, two main things that come up for me. If I could sum up all of what we're talking about, the healing and digging into our junk. I love that. I love that term. I'm going to steal that one, Richard, or borrow that one. Is what we're talking in the word that comes to mind for me is resiliency, is being able to be resilient, adaptable, expanding our what is our comfort zone? Because if we only operate within our defined comfort zone, life gets very rigid. It gets very stale. And yes, it can be a little bit scary on the edges of our comfort zone because that's where chaos is. And in order to get to a new level and expand our comfort zone, we have to dig into the chaos a little bit. Any change coming, there's always some disruption and chaos. So that's the one thing. And the second thing, and it just went out of my head. I forget what I was going to say. I've forgotten what I was going to say when I got into the resiliency. Oh, well, we'll go with resiliency. How's that? Catherine, what would you like to, in your final moment?
All right. Well, Richard, you touched on something that I believe we should bring up again. And those are women that are sexually abused and the hurt and how those women feel and how you deal with them and how you help them to deal with themselves, how you help them to heal themselves. If there's someone listening to this episode and they are, can relate to, know of someone, are married to, or related to someone who is going through that, I think it's important to know that we all are a little bit broken, right? We can all fix something. And hiding it doesn't make it get any better. So not to say that we're broken and that's the mantra I want us to believe, but don't want anyone to feel that. I can't make you feel, but if something truly catastrophic, traumatic happened to you in your life, you can get through this. And Richard talks about doing that with people. And if you have no way at this moment and you're listening and you just don't know how to get out of it, get in touch with us so we can put you in touch with Richard, or you'll be able to get in touch with him directly. That's what came up for me in my BU moment.
And I know this is, we don't normally do this, but I just remembered what the other part of my BU moment was. You sparked it about being broken. Okay. There's that a picture, and I've seen it on the internet many, many times. The cracks where we're broken is where the light gets in. And it's also where we let our light out to shine into the world. You know, we often think that we're a body that and the soul is in the body. I like there's another version that I think comes from the Celtic traditions where the soul is actually the bigger thing and the body, our physical being, resides within that rather than the other way around. So those were the where I was going.
Well, I'm glad I could put a spark in your sparkle today, Dr. Energy.
You both have definitely done that. I was gonna go forth today and have an even better day than I was already having.
It's that version.
Thank
Joel.
You. Thank you. Richard, hang out with us while we sign off for the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.b-u.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.b-u.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, baby.